Thank you so much for joining us on the River City Church podcast. If you're blessed by this message today, we would love to hear from you. Check out our website at rivercitychurch.cc and let us know what God is doing in your life. If you would like to support this ministry financially, click the giving link on our website and choose the best option for you. Thank you again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message.
It's good to see you.
Hey.
You survived the ice apocalypse of 2018. You're upright and here, and it's good to see you in the house of God. It's good. I'm glad to have Jesse back. Anybody glad to have Jesse? I don't know if you are, but I've been here with three kids by myself, so I'm fired up to have her back. And it's
you
good.
You did good, though.
I did good. I got all the kids ready. They looked clean. I don't know if they were, but they looked clean. And I think we only had one real incident with me and the children, so 7 days, one incident. Y'all ought to give the Lord one more hand clap. That's massive for me. I didn't even think I was capable of that, I am.
I think they're either getting easier or you're getting better at it. And
yeah,
I'm not sure which one.
They're getting older. But we want to take a few minutes and just teach tonight, spend a little time with you. After this morning, I was just talking out front. I think they said we had 70-some-odd wrecks this morning in the tri-state area, 70 maybe here locally in the area. But we drove around, looked to see if the service would be too rough tonight. I couldn't find any ice in the middle of the day, but I know after you have that, a lot of people don't show up. But I know the people that do, you're the people that will make it through persecution and tribulation. Look around. Always say this. These are the people that are going to be in heaven with us right here, all right, church? So you know who they are tonight.
We love all you watching online, too.
We love you, too. Yes, we do.
Yes.
Go ahead and open up your Bible, if you have it on you tonight, to Mark chapter 11. We're going to go to Mark chapter 11, and we'll begin reading in one moment. Mark chapter 11, we're going to read starting at verse 12. And I just want to talk about the power of our words and the answer of our mouth tonight. The power of our words and the answer of our mouth. And this is a topic that if you can get people to get a hold of this, doesn't matter what comes at you in life, you can find a way to rise above it because there's a miracle in your mouth. Mark 11, we'll start reading here in 1 second in verse 12, and it reads like this. Mark 11, verse 12, it says this. Now, the next day when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. Skip down to verse 20. Now, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Here's what's happening in this text. Jesus is staying with some friends in a place called Bethany. And if you were to look at Jerusalem, if you were to look at it from a bird's eye view from above, you would see Bethany, and then between Bethany and Jerusalem and the Temple Mount, there is the Mount of Olives. And so what Jesus would do is he would go stay with Lazarus's family in Bethany. And when he was done there in the night, he would get up, he would walk over the Mount of Olives, and he would go back down to the temple where he was teaching, and crowds were coming to him. And at this time, when he's headed down in the morning, his disciples are going with him. They've spent the night in Bethany. They're headed back down to the temple. He's walking in, and he's hungry. They're on a road trip. And he decides he's going to get something to eat. And he sees a fig tree off in a distance. And as he approaches the fig tree, he starts looking for something to eat on the tree. And he sees that the tree does not produce fruit. How many know we got a God that wants his tree to produce fruit? Somebody say amen to that. He wants our lives to produce fruit. He wants our church to produce fruit. He wants our families to be fruitful. And when he sees there's no fruit on it, it bothers him. And Jesus speaks to the tree. He talks to an inanimate object. And he says, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." He curses it. I'm telling you, there is power in your words. And I love this, that Jesus speaks to inanimate objects. He talks, it looks almost like he's talking to himself. You know, I come from a long line of people that talk to themselves. Anybody else out there, you catch yourself talking to yourself? I can have a great time talking to myself. I hang out in the bathroom. I tell jokes. I laugh out loud at myself. And Jessie will come in there and she's like, who are you talking to? I'm like, me? She's like,
weird.
Yeah, she's like, you're the creepiest person I've ever met in my life. But Jesus speaks to a tree and he curses it. And then you saw what happened in the text, the tree, it dies. That happens because your words, they have power.
Absolutely. We just got back from Thailand, and you'll see a little bit more of it on Sunday, but we had a great group, and everybody went. We had a good time, and we got to do a lot for God while we were there, so it was a quick trip, 7 days, and then back. But while we were there, we actually got to go into the first church that we have ever ministered in Thailand that is a Thai church. Brian may have gone in. I've never been in a Thai church. And so I'd been telling Brian for a while, God had really been laying on my heart. How many of you have ever wondered, like, is that me or is that God telling me something? Have you ever had that question? So when I think that God's speaking to me about something, I just keep on praying, saying, God, if that's you wanting me to be led that way, because you get better and better at hearing God's voice the more you tune your ear to his voice. But as you, I think sometimes it's just about being willing and just submitting yourself to, even if it's not your perfect plan, God, if that's you and that's what you want, just lead me in that way. Open doors. Let me see what to do next. Give me wisdom. And so I'd been feeling in my heart that we were really supposed to do more than just what we did in our safe home in Thailand, but actually tap into the Thai culture, which Thailand is less than 1% Christian. And so I just have such a heart for the Thai people. I love everything about Thailand. I love the people. I love the food. I love the buildings. I love everything about that place I love. And so I have a passion for it. Anyway, I think my love is just poured out on them because God has a place for us to do something great there. And so I've been thinking about it and praying about it. But one day we were in Israel and I told Brian, I said, listen, I really think that we are supposed to partner with a church there and see what God will use our churches to do together. And Brian said, well, you should probably do that. Then you need to see what we can do. We need to talk to some people. And that day we went to the upper room and I walked in and we were all singing a hymn. There were hundreds of people in the upper room and it was kind of an experience in and of itself, and I was loving every minute of it. And all of a sudden, out of everyone in the room singing in every different language imaginable, this hymn that everyone knew, I heard Thai people singing this in this hymn. And I thought, that's weird. I hear Thai people because my ears tuned to it. I've been there enough. I knew. And I turned around, and out of the corner of the room came these Thai women, and they were weeping. And they were saying to me, we love you. We love you. You need to come. And I'm looking at them thinking, this is the weirdest thing that's ever happened to me. I don't know these women. They're talking to me. Then they reach in their bag. They get a gift out. They give it to me. And they're telling me that they love me and to come. And Brian looks over at me and he says, I don't know what more of a sign you need from God, but I mean, there you go. If you're talking about this is what you're supposed to do, these women came out of the wall somewhere. I think that God's clearly telling us that's what we need to do. So we started working on it. And on this trip, we got to partner together with that church that we found. And they were so gracious and they let us come in and minister. And I was preaching on Sunday morning. And there was a sweet little interpreter, a girl there that was an interpreter. She went everywhere with us and she was so kind and she was just taking us, if we would go eat, she would go with us. She was interpreting everything for us and helping us get around the city. And she was just so nice. And I thought, man, I really like this girl. You know, I just kept talking to her. And as we walked through the market, she kept wanting me to buy mangoes. And I thought, I like mangoes, but it's a little strange that out of all the things in the market, she wants me to buy mangoes. She kept pushing the mangoes. She was into the mangoes. She wanted me to have dried mangoes. She wanted me to eat mango sticky rice. She kept pushing the mangoes. And at the end, she said, my husband is the number one mango farmer in Thailand. And I thought, that makes sense. Because
vested interest.
At the end of the day, I like beef, and I like
it
when
eat more
eat
beef,
steak,
all right?
You know, so because that's kind of our business. And so I got it. I had a connection with this girl. I thought, she is killing it in the mango department. And so I started talking to her, and she said, we're the number one. I said, really? I said, your husband's so kind. I met him this morning. I was talking to her. And she said to the whole team in this bus we were riding, and she said, you know, people come from all around to talk to my husband about his mango trees because they do so well and they produce so well. And they come around and they say, what are you doing different than we're doing that your mango trees produce more mangoes or better mangoes than ours do? And whenever I heard her say that, I said, I knew exactly what she was going to say. She said, he talks to the trees and he tells them to produce. And he speaks over them that they're better than all the other mangoes. She began to tell us what he would say over the mangoes. I said, when you talk to plants, they do better. She said, exactly. But he speaks over them. He's a Christian. He's a believer. And he believes in the confession of his mouth. So he goes through his orchards and he speaks to each tree and he tells it to produce well. And he says over it that it lives and does not die. He tells it that it has more mangoes than anything
else. That's good.
And I just love that. I thought, man, what a great testimony of just taking whatever God gives you in your world with your hand and choosing to bless it with your words, because we know that what we bless will be blessed and what we curse will be cursed.
That's good, Jesse.
That life and death are in the power of our tongue. And so I bought a lot of mangoes and I brought some home too.
Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap. There's a miracle in your mouth. Amen.
Yeah.
Let's say that out loud. Somebody say, there's a miracle, in my mouth. See, what we say, it matters. Jesus stopped and he does this. He says, let no one eat fruit from you ever again to this fig tree. And he says it loud enough that everyone can hear it. It says that in the text. There's no unneeded detail in the Bible. It's always trying to show you something. So what Jesus is doing when he curses this tree in front of everyone, it's a teaching moment. He's being rabbinic. He's trying to show them something, model something in front of them. And so he's showing them how to do life, what to do. He looks at that tree, says, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And then they go down into the temple and they minister that day. Jesus does his thing. It's interesting. There's also a prophetic shadow in this text. If you read what we skipped over, he goes into the temple and he curses the temple at the time. He turns over the money changers' tables. He tears things up. He goes wild. You know, Jesus is not always meek and mild. You know, Jesus can straighten out a situation. Did you know that? Sometimes people will be straight and they'll be like, I can't believe that Christian person talked that straight. Don't they know they're supposed to be like Jesus? And it's like, you haven't read the text where Jesus sits down and braids a whip. And he gets a plan to go in and drive money changers out of a temple. He meditates long enough to braid a whip and to go attack people with a whip. That's the Jesus of the Bible. And you're looking at me like it's not in there, but I promise you it is. It's in there. And so he goes in and he gets after the temple. It's a symbol. The fig tree is a symbol of the broken ministry in the midst of Israel, which was the temple that needed correction at the time. And he comes back out. Yes.
Jesus was a teacher. He was a rabbi. He was obviously God and fully God and fully man. But I just want to say this from my perspective and where I sit, which is normally the front row, that a lot of times I see pastors in general. I've been around pastors my whole life. I was a pastor's kid, and now I'm a pastor's wife. And a lot of times, I see some other pastors' kids in here. And a lot of times, you know, there'll be something going on in the church. And people think that the church is full of sheep. And that is true. But the church is also full of wolves sometimes. And there are people that are released into the church to cause harm to the sheep. And because of the deep love of the sheep from the pastor or the shepherd, he must bend down and braid his whip at times. And if I was a part of a church where a pastor could not braid his whip and take it out, I would run for the hills because there's no protection in that place. But a lot of times people are taken back by the shepherd part of a pastor. They don't like that part. They like the teacher part. They like the sweet part. They like the smiley part. But when he brings the whip out and says, hey, we're going to correct some things up in here, nobody really likes that part. And they get a little bit nervous because they don't understand the nature of Jesus in that shepherd part. So I love that because I think it's so telling. Like, there are times that there are wolves, and you know what shepherds do? They kill wolves.
It's good preaching.
They don't just like make them lame by like shooting their leg and then letting them hobble off. No, they kill them. They take them out and they say, you're not allowed here anymore because there are sheep here and God loves his sheep and I'm not going to allow you to destroy the people of God because you're a wolf in sheep's clothing. So I know that's not part of our message tonight, but that is part
that's
of a
all,
good message.
That's all free. They get
yeah,
that free tonight.
That's awesome.
That's right. That's just bonus teaching
I just,
tonight.
I love it. And if I was a part of a church that didn't have that man, I would find another church. Because if you've got a shepherd that won't protect the sheep, you've got no shepherd at all.
That's good preaching. Jesus goes down. He does that. He cleans house. And then they're coming back. They're walking back. It's like 24 hours later. He's gone back the same path. Peter and the disciples, they're with him. They're probably a little rattled because he just shook everything up in the temple. And they're traveling with this guy. They're wondering what he's going to do next. And it's kind of fun. I don't know. Do any of y'all like, I mean, I like some real stable personalities. But every now and then, it's fun to travel with somebody that you just don't know what they're going to do, right? It's like, man, we're on the edge of our seat. This is going to be a big time. So they're traveling back by. And Peter looks up and he sees the tree that Jesus has spoken to. And the thing is withered 24 hours later from the roots. I'm telling you, if you'll start to use the power of your words, some things can drop in 24 hours. Things that are a problem in your life that you think you can't get a handle on. Instead of talking about it, if you'll start talking to it, instead of quoting the problem, you'll start quoting the scripture, which is an answer to the problem. Some of those problems that you think they're going to take you out, they'll be gone in 24 hours by the power of your word. You've just got to activate the power of your mouth. There's a miracle in your mouth. And so Peter's blown away. He looks at it and he says, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed, it's withered away. And Jesus turns around and looks at him like, I mean, why are you shocked? And he says these words. He says, have faith in God. Everybody say, have faith in God. Come on, say it again. Have faith in God. And really, in the original language, it doesn't just say have faith in God. It says have the faith of God. Or have the God kind of faith. Have the faith of God. How many know there's a difference between having faith in God and having the God kind of faith operating in your life? See, the God kind of faith looks different than just having faith in God. Talk to a lot of people and ask them if there's a God, and they'll say, yeah, I have faith that there's a God. But having the God kind of faith is absolutely different. If you want to find the God kind of faith, you can open up to the early part of the book of Genesis. You'll find out in the beginning that there's nothing in the earth. And then God begins to speak. And he says, let there be light. And what happens, church? He says, and then he sees. And then he says, you know, let there be this earth and let the dry land and the water separate. God says, and then what happens? He sees. And then he creates the animal, says, let the ocean, let it have all these fish, let it teem with life. And let the sky have birds and let the animals come. And then God says, and he sees. Now I'll tell you what the God kind of faith looks like. It's right here in a portion of scripture about speaking to things. And he says, have the God kind of faith. He's saying, you need to operate in my kind of faith. And what my kind of faith does is it says, and then it sees. And I've found in my life that I'm going to see what I say pretty soon. Good or bad. If I say bad enough, you know what I'll start to see in my life? If I say good things, I'll start to see good in my life. There is a miracle in your mouth. There's a miracle in your mouth. So it says, have the God kind of faith. And then Jesus says this, surely I say to you, whoever says, everybody say says. Surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, turns around and points at the Mount of Olives. It's an illustrated sermon. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, does not doubt the things he says. Everybody say says. But believes those things he what, church? Says will come to pass. He will have whatever he says. Says it about 10 times. He talks about what you're saying, 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 what you're saying. What we're saying is powerful. Because we're going to see what we say. And you can curse the things that need to leave your life, and I believe they'll dry up and go just like the fig tree. And you can call the things into your life that you need. You're going to do it with the power of your words, because I'll tell you, faith is voice activated. It is voice activated. It is.
You know, a lot of times I just like to picture my words as a capsule. Like Advil or something, and it has that gel cap around it, and there's liquid on the inside of it. And I love to just imagine that as I'm speaking, that pill, that capsule is full of the word of God. And whenever it goes in, that it's affecting a cure in that situation, if I'm speaking the right things. But we like that part, but we don't like the part where we're speaking death, speaking death, speaking death. You know, if every day you get up and you say, I don't know how this marriage is going to end without divorce. I just have no idea how we're ever going to get through this marriage without it ending in divorce. I don't know how I'm going to stay married to you. I don't think we can stay married. I just think divorce is the only answer for us. If every single time that you speak over your marriage, that's the words that you use, then you're killing the marriage with your mouth. But if you're saying over it, even if you don't believe it yet, sometimes you say it until you believe it. We don't always say what we believe. The Bible says that what we say comes out of our heart, but we can choose to change the words of our mouth and invade the content of our heart, because it works that way as well. As we speak it, it sows that thing into our heart. You know, there are times that Brian, I bought a special basket for him to put his laundry in. And he chooses to use the floor beside it.
The floor's bigger. It's larger.
I'm not exactly sure why or how or what he does. I mean, but it's like we've been married so long, and I've had this basket so long, and the laundry's been out, that it's like if you can't beat them, join them. I don't even put my laundry in the basket anymore. It's just an accessory in our house. I've bent his way. But whatever he does, every marriage has this thing, you know. I'm sure when I lose the keys every day that that's not a big nuisance to him.
When Jessie's done with a vehicle, she takes the keys out and she throws them into the field. She's like, I'll find them later when we get back.
It's you totally
know,
true.
You know the Bible says, confess your sins one to another
that's
that you may
happening.
Be healed. We're confessing each other's sins to the entire church that we'll be healed.
So we probably won't ever be healed because this has happened a
long
time.
Yeah, this is a long time. We're not getting over this.
But anyway, I lose my keys all the time. And so Brian, I can tell that he's frustrated with me, but he chooses to speak life over me. Like I take the keys out and I lose them every time. And I can't explain to you why or why I don't put them in the right place. I don't know. It's just a quirk that I have in my brain. It doesn't work. And he says to me, you are such a blessing. And I can tell that he doesn't even believe it yet, but he chooses to speak life over me. Whenever I see his clothes beside that basket, I say to him, wow, you are a good preacher. And so I try to say something positive over him, so much so that our children have caught on to this thing that we do. We say, you're a good preacher, you're a good husband, you're a good daddy. He'll say, you're a good preacher, you're a good mama, you're a good wife. And our kids now, if they were, like, I had one that I was potty training. I was sitting in front of them. They didn't want to sit there long enough to potty train. And I was there. We're in a public restroom. I didn't want to be there. I'm standing in front of them saying, come on, if you could just hurry up. I want off. I'm like, I don't care. We're going to just go to the bathroom now. And that little kid was like, two. And they said, you're not a good preacher and you're not a good mama. It broke
go
my heart.
You.
And I came back. I said, Brian, why would that kid say that? He said, because they knew that that's exactly the thing that you wanted to be. So they were trying to say something mean to you. But if we try to speak life in the midst of all of that. Now, we don't always get it right. But what I'm telling you is that when you see things in your kids that make you want to give them away, you need to look at them and choose to speak life. When you have something in your spouse that drives you crazy every day, you need to choose to speak life over them. Even when you want to curse them with your mouth, maybe even really curse, you can choose to speak life over them and affect change in their heart. They may not stop putting their laundry in the floor, but life-giving words will affect their inner man, and it causes your relationship to grow.
Come on, everybody say this out loud. Say life and death.
Life and death.
Are in the power of the tongue.
Are in the power of the tongue.
Those who love it. Will eat the fruit thereof.
Will eat the fruit thereof.
You know, the scripture teaches that literally our mouth has the power to release life or it has the power to release death. And what we're saying is either lifting someone up or it's tearing someone down. It's either creating a better future or it's tearing up our future. Listen, that your words are power containers like that. And a lot of times people are praying for things to happen in life. If you look at the end of the text we're talking about, Jesus said, okay, whatever you say, it'll come to pass. And in the very next verse, he talks about praying. He says, when you pray, believe that you receive the things you ask for and you'll have them. He connects what we say and how we pray to go right together. And a lot of times people are praying to be made whole. They're believing God. They're praying for healing. And then they'll turn around and they'll say, I'm so sick, I'm dying. And then they're praying and they're saying, it doesn't match up. It's not lined up. They'll pray that God's going to prosper them and make them do better financially. And then they'll say, man, I'm so broke, I'm so poor, I don't know what's going to happen next. Come on, our praying and our saying, it doesn't match up. But if we get those two things working together, I believe it becomes it's almost like a multiplier. If you'll pray for stuff and then you'll say in line with what you'll be praying. Don't curse your prayers with your words, but get them lined up and get them heading together, and there's a power in it. I'm telling you, there really is. I've seen this miracle deal work in my mouth for years. And people want to know, they'll ask me like I got a secret sauce or something, because they know my testimony and I use my testimony to bring people to Jesus. You know, we're in an area, not just this area, all over the world, where people have problems with addiction and drug problems, and God delivered me from addiction. Come on, let's give our God, who is a deliverer, a hand clap. Delivered me from a real, I had a meth problem back in the late 90s, and I got delivered, and here's how that happened. People want to know, well, do you have a special sauce? Or they'll want to bring everybody with an addiction problem they know to talk to me. Really, I don't have any special sauce, and I got nothing special to say to you except Jesus is Lord. The Bible is real, and there's a power to set you free in it. And I made some decisions. Number one, everything starts with a decision. Nothing worth having in life will ever happen without a firm, hard decision. Come on, you got to be tired of where you are, what you have, and what you're doing, and you want something different in life. And that's when God can start to work with you. And so what I did is I found out that there was power in the Word. I surrounded myself in the church. I was in a good atmosphere around the power of the Holy Spirit. And then I learned about the power of God in the Word. And I would literally take the Word of God and I would put it in my mouth. And I would say it again and again and again. I learned that there was a miracle in my mouth, and then I started to activate it. Every night and every morning I'd get up and I'd say, today I'll walk in the Spirit and I fulfill not the lust of the flesh. I'd load my life with Scripture. I would quote this scripture. How can a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to the Word of God. And I would say, I submit myself to God. I resist the devil. He flees from me today. Today I trample over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm me. Today I would say, I have an anointing of the Holy One. I know all things. For this reason, the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Today I have an abundant life. I don't live in sin, but I have an abundant life, and I'm an overcomer. I would just quote the Word again and again and again. And I'd say a scripture like 1,000 times a day.
No, it's true. And I want to share this because I grew up in a church where confession was a part of the teaching constantly, that we should confess the Word of God, that we should speak life, that life and death were in the power of the tongue. But I still, whenever I saw the transformation in Brian's life, I really thought like maybe he was just stronger than some people that I'd seen fall back into that world until I married him. And then the first morning that I woke up married to Brian, I started hearing him say, I will walk in the Spirit and I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I thought, that's good. That's a good confession. That was awesome. Whenever I was sick, I would say, I'm healed. I'm the healed of the Lord. And then I would stop and I'd go on about my day. So I heard Brian say it once and I thought, wow, it's good. That was a good word. He said, I will walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay, still good. I will walk in the Spirit. And about the 500th time that morning that he would say it, I'm thinking, my God, what is he thinking about doing? I had never in all my life heard someone speak the Word in consistency and the amount of times that he would say it over himself. He would take the same scripture and he would speak it all morning long while he got ready to go out. I mean, consistently, all the time. And I was telling my sister that one day, and she said, why don't you guys share that with people? Because I don't think people understand how much of the Word Brian was speaking over himself. People will come up to me and they'll say, Jesse, I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to Brian because I have a drug problem and I know that he had a drug problem, and so I think he could help me. I say, I hate to break it to you, but Brian can't do anything for you. The only thing that's going to change you is the Word of God spoken and that thing broken over your life. And I was unbelievable. incredibly mind-boggled by the amount of times that he would say the word over himself. And I thought, well, no wonder I haven't been getting the answers that I want in my life. I only said it like 3 times, and then I got tired. But he'd say it 500, 750, sometimes 1,000 times a day. I would hear him speak the word over the thing that bound him or the thing that was standing in his way for the next season of his life. And I continue to hear him do that even today, 20 years later. And I'm telling you, if we get a hold of this message and we truly believe it, and we will take it and put it in our mouth and speak it over our situation, we'll have people delivered, set free, and walking in the calling of God all over this church, because the word of God changes people. It's not just for Brian. God is no respecter of persons. What he'll do for one, he'll do for every single person that works the word. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Listen, the word will work if you'll work it.
True.
The word will work if you'll work it. You got to get your teeth into it. You got to believe it, and you have to work the word of God to see the fruit come out of it, and not back up on the thing. You keep saying, you keep plugging away, you hold on to the faith, and you keep heading in that direction, and God will do something supernatural for you. Come on, we're out of time. Why don't you give the Lord a hand clap? Go ahead and stand up on your feet. How many are thankful for the word of God tonight? I'm thankful for the word of God tonight. Listen, here's what I want to get you doing tonight. I'll have people say things at times in church, and I think they just think I want to get them to say something I've told them to say, because people roll their eyes sometimes, and there's some guy, it doesn't matter how many times I say y'all to say this, he's never going to say it, you know, and I get that. I'm comfortable with that. I've been preaching a long time, but the reason I do that isn't just because I like people to obey what I say. I'm trying to get them to get the word of God in their mouth. Does that make sense? I'm trying to get them to start that right here. Like, if we're going to get somebody to worship the Lord, like the first time, how many of y'all remember the first time you ever lifted a hand to the Lord? Huh? Y'all remember that? It was really awkward feeling for me. I felt like, you know, I was in my boxer shorts with Bodors standing. Everybody's looking at me in the church. But the reason I did it is I was in the presence of other people that were worshiping the Lord, right? Now, I could see this connection between them and God that I didn't have. Now, I wanted to connect with God, so okay. I lifted a hand to the Lord. All right, most Christian development people learn like that in the house of God. If I'm going to get people to speak the word of God out of their mouth, they're going to learn that in a service or around a Christian person that's modeling that in front of them. And that's why I have people say things. So tonight, I want us to begin to operate in faith by releasing our faith by speaking the word out of our mouth. Come on, let's make a confession of our faith tonight. Everybody just say this. Say, Father, I thank you tonight that the word of God is working in my life. I believe that the promises of God are producing in my life. I declare that your word is a lamp unto my feet, it's a light unto my path. I declare tonight that I walk in the Spirit. I do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I thank you tonight that you're blessing the work of my hand. You're blessing what I do. Your hand is coming upon my hand. I declare tonight that I have peace in my house. My house is a shalom home. It's a place of the presence of God. I declare that I have health in my body. I have strength in my mind. My spirit man is growing. I'm becoming more like Jesus in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I thank you that life and death are in the power of the tongue in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, let's give God one more hand clap tonight. Be encouraged.